Thank you, Father, that you do watch over us all the time and are always caring for us. Please now teach us more of how it is that we are to be members of your kingdom, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do please be seated. Well, it is decision time. There comes that moment, doesn't there, where you've weighed the pros and the cons, you've thought through the options, and you can't delay any longer. Which way will you go? We meet that in all areas of life, but this morning it's come to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Today, we must decide. So please turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue our series listening to Jesus' teaching in his famous sermon. Matthew chapter 7, page 979. Oh, we'll pick it up. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, where Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Well, do you remember where we got to last week in Jesus' sermon? Just last week, verse 12, was the final sentence of the main body of Jesus' teaching. Do you remember? He said, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The golden rule there, summarizing and finishing off all that we've seen of this radically distinctive life that members of the kingdom must lead. And so now Jesus is moving to conclude, to drive home his message, to demand from us a response. And in those verses we've just heard, verses 13 and 14, Jesus, if you like, makes it very simple, very plain, very straightforward, so that all can understand. He gives a stark contrast between two ways. So let's walk through this contrast, and he begins by describing, first of all, there are two gates. Verse 13 begins, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide." So straight away, he talks about these two gates. There's a wide gate. Obvious point is, it's hardly a gate at all. Very easy to get through. In fact, maybe it's so broad, you can go through it without even realizing that it's there. But there is another gate. Many don't notice it, or at least choose to ignore it, because it's narrow. Think maybe of all the fans in Cardiff yesterday, like Howell, turning up at the Principality Stadium, going to squeeze through that narrow turnstile to get in. Well, think like that, one at a time, squeezing through the narrow gate. And it's obvious, isn't it? Jesus is talking about entering his kingdom. If you like, starting out in the Christian life. And he's saying straight away, isn't he, as he's said all through the sermon, well, if you are looking for the easy life, or if you're just looking for a bit of a boost from Jesus for the rest of your life, well, this isn't the way to go, this narrow gate he's talking about. Because the point is, to get through it, as well as being a squeeze, therefore, you'll have to leave much behind. You go on through Matthew's gospel later, Jesus says to a man, "Sell what you possess, give it to the poor, and come follow me." The point is, there may be much that we value, that we'd like to hold on to, but Jesus is saying we'll have to leave behind if we're going to get through that gate. Do you remember what Jesus said to the crowds, to anyone considering following him? He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." So Jesus is almost saying to get through the gate, you've got to leave your very self behind. All that we used to live for, part from Jesus. So there are two gates. But Jesus' stark contrast continues because the two gates lead to two ways. Verse 13, "The first gate is wide and the way is easy." Plain sailing to go on this path. Plenty of room. And the point is, as you meander down, you choose how to travel. You make your own way. Choose for yourselves. But Jesus says there is an alternative in verse 14 again, where he says the gate is narrow and the way is hard. So you can imagine you might squeeze through a narrow gate with the prospect of an easier way the other side. But Jesus says, no, it's not like that. It doesn't get better, actually, far from it. once you're through the gate, it's hard to keep going, to make progress. Again, this is a summary. Anyone who's listened to Jesus' sermon knows, I trust, what he's talking about. I think we've probably felt it many times over these last few weeks. Jesus is saying members of his kingdom are not free to choose their own way. They can't live as they please. They can't decide for themselves what to think about issues of spirituality or anything else. The point, Jesus is saying, is if you're with him on this path, you listen and obey, because he is the king. Now, of course, everything he says is for his people's good, but here I think Jesus is helping us see what we have felt already, that it doesn't feel like that all the time. It feels restrictive and constraining. It feels like we have to make decisions that are going to be so costly, as if we will miss out. There will be, there is, isn't there, that temptation to look across to the narrow way, our friends taking it easy on that path, wishing maybe, can't I just be over there, at least for a little bit? But Jesus says, give your all to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And the language he uses suggests there'll be a particular reason why this way is so hard. Do you remember the Beatitudes? We've kept going back to them. Do you remember the last one with which Jesus opened his Sermon on the Mount? He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is hard, to be persecuted. Going this way won't be popular. There'll be consequences. So we're with Jesus so far, two gates leading to two ways. And he wants us to realize then there are two groups. Verse 13. Those who enter by the wide gate are many. Now that is not surprising, is it? Offer someone the easy life, yes, please. And certainly, if they see the alternative, they'll think this is better. Those on the easy way look across if they can see it to the narrow way and see, well, restrictions, see opposition, see persecution. No thanks, no way, if you like. Much rather go with the flow, with their friends, stay with the crowd, safety numbers. And surely they think, all these people can't be wrong. There's another group. It's again easy to ignore because Jesus says it's few in number at the end of verse 14. It's a narrow way. There aren't crowds. So small, a minority, you might say, sidelined. But it's worth saying there are few of them, but not none. And in particular, there is one on this narrow way, even leading the way. And the shock is where you find the king. He is on the narrow way. And so anyone who's on that way, yes, it's narrow and few, but they are following him. Again, remember Jesus' key words to the crowd. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The narrow way is the route Jesus himself chose to go, where he invites us to follow. So, Jesus has summarized much of what we've seen so far. You can't fail to understand what he is saying. Two ways. Now, of course, he isn't telling us everything about the kingdom. Elsewhere, Jesus will tell us the amazing positives of his kingdom, why it would be far better to go his way, why you'd want to be there. But here, Jesus is not being the smooth-talking salesman. Jesus is being straight with us. Jesus is not hiding the small print. He is telling us what life in his kingdom will be like and how it will feel. It'll be tough to enter. It'll be difficult along the way, and we'll feel so small we don't fit in, like we don't even belong in the world. So two gates leading to two paths, with many and few on each, respectively. Now imagine a hearer of Jesus back then, maybe even today, as they heard Jesus say these words. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, from what we've heard so far, which is the preferable way to go. Who on earth wouldn't choose the wide gate, the easy way, with plenty of fellow travellers for company, especially looking across to the hard way, with few going that route. Except, of course, we haven't looked at the whole of Jesus' picture. There is a little bit more that is absolutely key that we must see. What matters about the two ways is where they are going, because the two ways lead to two destinations. Verse 13 tells us the wide gate and the easy way leads to destruction. That way does not end well. In fact, it could not be worse than to end up outside Jesus' kingdom, away from the King. Well, what does Jesus mean by this? For one example, why don't I just turn over to chapter 8 and verses 11 and 12, where Jesus says, "I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's stark language. And as we read on in Matthew's gospel, well, we won't look up all the references, but Jesus speaks of a fiery furnace, of this outer darkness, of being cut in pieces, of eternal punishment. And I take it, in saying all those things, Jesus is being deadly serious. He's trying to wake us up. The stakes could not be higher. This is what our rebellion against God deserves. Now Jesus wants to shake us out of our complacency, bring us to our senses, so that we do not follow the way that leads to destruction. The wonderful, wonderful news of the gospel is that destruction is not the only possible destination. Look again at the alternative. Verse 14 tells us the narrow gate and the hard way lead to life. Look at Jesus. He walked that hard road of suffering and death, but rose again to indestructible life. And the point is, that is the life that he will share with all who walk that path with him. Yes, the journey is arduous, and don't we feel that at points? It could last for decades, but the destination is forever. The life we'll receive there simply could not be better. We'll be members of God's kingdom. We'll catch up with Jesus and see him and be with him. Soon, all that spoils life now will be gone forever. And instead a banquet with the richest of fare, because the narrow gate and the hard way lead to life. And that all leads, therefore, clearly to one decision. Jesus has been setting out these two ways for us, not out of interest, not for information, but so that his hearers, so that we take action. There is a decision to be made. There are two and only two alternatives, two and only two ways. We must go one way or the other. A response is required. Oh, says someone, I'm really not sure about all this. I want to keep thinking about it. I'm not sure. I'll make a decision soon. Well, actually, to put it off is not to decide. It is actually to decide, because if we say to Jesus, I'm not going to choose, we're not taking him seriously. It's to say to Jesus, I don't need to make this decision you say I need to make. Notice, not to decide is actually saying, I want the easy way. I want to stay where I am already, which is on the easy path, where I can choose for myself. I can decide what I think, rather than be constrained by what Jesus is presenting before me. So the point is, actually, it's not as if we, humanity, are standing with the two ways in front of us. By default, everyone is already on the wide way. We have all rebelled against God and chosen to go that way. It's why, in fact, if you remember all we've seen in Matthew so far, what's been the message? Repent, which means turn around, get off the way you're going, and come this way, Jesus' way. So what are we to do? Well, notice Jesus just tells us, and let's make this very clear, it's how he starts, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. Jesus wants us to be really clear what he is looking for from us. Enter by the narrow gate. And whether we will or won't do that shows us what we think of Jesus. Because if we have realized he is God's king, to whom we must listen, then actually it's very clear, isn't it, what to do. No one likes the sound of, no one likes experiencing this narrow gate, the hard way, the challenges of living for Jesus in a hostile world. And as those around us only see that, no wonder they are not interested. They turn away. And that would be understandable if life on the way was all that there is. But it's Jesus who tells us there are destinations, destruction, or life. So the simple question is, do we believe Jesus? If we do, the choice, well, it may not be easy, but it is very straightforward. Many around us today would have fine words to say about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. They'd say it's wonderful spiritual guidance, it's stimulating, it's inspiring and more. But we've heard this morning, of course they are stimulating, of course it's inspiring, but they come with a very clear edge to them. They come and bite. Jesus laid before us these stark realities. He demands the response with him or against him, following him or going our own way, on the way to destruction or on the way to life. It's clear that Jesus thinks nothing matters more. Jesus here is pleading with us. The King is commanding us, enter by the narrow gate. Let's pray as we close. Father, we do thank you that Jesus came and spoke so plainly about his kingdom and this choice we must all face. We do praise you that there is a way to life which Jesus opened for us by giving his life for us, taking the punishment we deserve. And as we realize again this morning all that is at stake, would we enter through the narrow gate? Would we stay walking on the hard path? Would you strengthen us to keep listening to Jesus our King, obeying him, speaking of him as we follow on this way? We do thank you that we can be members of his kingdom on the way which leads to life. Amen.